time present and time past are both perhaps present in time future, writes the poet T.S. Eliot, and an architectural firm in Boston couldn't agree more. They're designing a preserve for an artifact that's rapidly becoming an anachronism, the wristwatch. Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman has our story.
Boston-based Moscow Lynn Architects specialize in creating buildings for environmental organizations. No question, business has been slow lately, but things perk up when it's time to open the mail. Today, partner Keith Moscow gives a visitor the honor.
Why don't you open that? We don't know what's in it.
Well, this is exciting.
It is. It's the excitement each day. What shows up in the mail?
Moscow Lynn Architects receive a lot of packages these days. Stacks of brown boxes and beige envelopes.
This comes in a little bubble wrap here. Oh, yeah.
Whoa, a trove.
I think you're
a
over
treasure
here.
Trove.
Look at this. This is... Oh, my gosh. Somebody sent you...
Oh, my God.
Watches. Lots and lots of wristwatches. Large and small, digital and analog, some with bands, some without. Each watch in this box has a small tag with a short, neatly written message, which Keith Moscow reads.
Cool purchase quickly became fashion don't.
I begged my grandma for this. I wore it only once. Katie Abia.
She had a lot of watches here.
Received at the age 6, but I couldn't tell time. I'm sure Katie uses her cell phone now.
And so do many people. The times are changing, and how we tell time is also changing.
If you think about it, most people under the age of 25 do not wear wristwatch. They use their cell phone. And so arguably, the wristwatch will go the same way as a pocket watch. So this is a moment in time, this changing time period when we're switching over.
To preserve the past and mark the time when people wore wristwatches, Moscow Lynn Architects have created what they call the 1,000 Watch Project.
The idea is that we're going to collect 1,000 watches. Each watch has its own story. Then we're going to package it up, put it in a pine box, and donate it to the Smithsonian as a moment in time. And
what does the Smithsonian say about this? Have you approached them yet?
We have sent an inquiry letter, as you do, and we're waiting to hear what they say. We're sending it to them in either way, anyway.
Then it's their problem.
Yeah, then it's their issue. But we're going to pack it up because it really becomes a time capsule.
The 1,000 Watch Project began modestly with a notice on Craigslist. But clearly, it's an idea whose time has come, says architect Robert Lynn.
Here's something we've identified as a kind of a cultural phenomenon, that people have all these watches, you can't throw them away. Maybe it's because you wear them so close to your skin. Maybe it's because it's the one item of clothing or object that you wear every single day for a short period of time. You then switch it out for another one. So it sort of marks different periods of time in people's lives. So we didn't know exactly what we were going to do with them, but we just started collecting them, you know, to see where it would lead. And it turns out that that really resonated with a lot of people.
It wasn't something we sat down and said, oh, we're just going to do it.
Again, architect Keith Moscow.
I found that I had watches in my drawer that I just couldn't get rid of. I had gotten a watch for a graduation present from college 25 years ago.
Everybody did.
A couple years later, it went through the washing machine. I never told my mother until literally a couple of weeks ago. But it moved with me half a dozen times, even though it was a busted watch. I was inscribed in the back. I couldn't toss it out. I had purchased my first swatch when I was in architecture school. I was in Switzerland. Once again, it turned yellow. I wore it so long. It was a clear watch. I couldn't toss it out. And Rob and I were chatting one day, and we realized he had a bunch of watches, too, that he had never tossed out. So we go, okay, let's just bring him to work. We'll sort of get him out of the sock drawer, put him somewhere else.
Soon, sock drawers around the world were being emptied of their keepsake timepieces and sent to the 1,000 Watch Project. Associate architect Sarah West tags each, numbers it, and if the owner included a short message, she writes that on the tag, too. Then the watches are mounted with pushpins on tall wall boards.
470 was a recent donation, and the epitaph that was sent in with it said, "For Sergeant Rodney Murray, time just ran out." No other explanation was sent in.
That's very interesting because that watch, it came in. It was a fellow who used to work here, and he ran as a seeing eye runner for someone in the New York Marathon. He led somebody, and he clicked it when he was done with his time. It was just over 4 hours.
Number 400.
Number 400 says, "You'll always remind me of youth," from Shane Hughes. And yes, this is one was sent in from Australia.
This one. "It used to be my favorite, not so much anymore." These are like little gravestones, you know?
They are. Well, that's the idea. It's an epitaph. And it's a way of just putting a couple of words. You only put a couple of words on a gravestone. And it's just enough to tweak somebody's imagination or memory.
So let me read a couple of these. "Time ran out. Left in the second grade, lost and found for 2 years, Wisconsin.
Bought at our friend Cindy's cancer fundraiser, R.I.P. Cindy."
So some of these really are from people who are no longer alive.
Very well could be. I mean, we've gotten watches from people who said they were their parents' and or grandparents' watches, and they just could not get rid of them. But here was an honorable way to, something honorable to do with it.
The watches are also photographed, and Sarah West scans the picture onto the Thousand Watch Project website, where they can be seen for all time.
I think it's a nice bit that once they're online, you can continue to visit it. You know, as if you were opening the drawer, you remember it, you know, maybe. So you can still have a bit of that relationship, but I think people do entrust us to protect this memory and this keepsake and expect that we'll treat it well. We try to.
Recently, the Thousand Watch Project hit a milestone, the halfway mark. Architect Keith Mosco.
This is number 500. And it says, "Treasure from the past, I love this watch, MBM." Number 500. So this was a really important watch to receive.
Actually, you guys are recycling time. You're answering that age-old question, what do you do with your old watch?
And what do you do with your time?
Me? I sent two old watches into the Thousand Watch Project, number 511 and 512. For Living on Earth, I'm Bruce Gellerman.
To check out the entire Thousand Watch Project collection and learn how you can donate your old watches, go to our website, loe.org.
On the next Living on Earth, big cities might have bright lights, but they don't have accessible, healthy food.
I took two buses or a car service to get food back to Red Hook. Like, you couldn't even get a quart of milk or vegetables.
Efforts to plant some new seeds in food deserts, next time on Living on Earth.
Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Belinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Ike Sriskandaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins and Marilyn Gavone.
Our interns are Lindsay Breslau, Liz Gross, Phil DiMartino, and Christine Parrish. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs around the world. Uncommon heroes dedicated to the common good. Learn more at skoll.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.